No será difícil dar con su domicilio. Dime los basureros.
Welcome to Tijuana. Tequila, sexo, marihuana.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Jasmine Garst in Mexico City.
With a slight cold, your voice is slightly affected, but that's okay.
Slightly the crypt keeper.
Recently, NPR's Morning Edition took a ride along the 1,900-mile border between the U.S. and Mexico. A team of NPR reporters and producers fanned out for coverage that resulted in radio stories, photographs, essays, and it's all collected at NPR.org as Borderland. We encourage you to spend some time with it. And another thing that came out of that coverage was a playlist.
An awesome music playlist. Morning Edition host Steve Inske, he compiled a list of music that he heard alongside the border. And we're really lucky to have Steve on our program today. This is not the music I expect from a serious NPR news host.
Hi, Jasmine. I guess I'm responsible for this song that didn't seem quite appropriate. So, yes, that's part of the awesome playlist, as you put it.
Bienvenida, Tijuana. Bienvenida, mi suerte. Bienvenida, la muerte. Por la Panamericana.
Welcome to Tijuana.
This song that you're hearing now is called Tijuana by Manu Chao. And, you know, believe it or not, this song has become almost an anthem for a younger generation of people who have grown up on the border, who have grown up there and have the influences of both sides of the border. So it's kind of whimsical. It's a little risque in parts.
Plays on all the stereotypes of Tijuana, Mexico, yeah.
Welcome to Tijuana, con el coyote no hay aduana.
I wondered as I heard the lyrics to this song, you know, does the Tijuana Chamber of Commerce really like this as a way to promote the city? You know, this is a place to get sex and marijuana. Woo! So it plays on all kinds of stereotypes of the song, and it's kind of jarring to the ears. I mean, we first heard this while driving into Tijuana over La Rumorosa, which is this amazing mountain highway in northern Mexico, and it takes some getting used to. Like, you have to hear it a couple times before you're even sure what's going on there, but it does grow on you a little bit.
And it's become very, very popular among people who listen to Rock en Español, who listen to Latin Alternative, for the tongue-in-cheek reference to all the things that Tijuana is known for, but of course they know better, it's much more than that.
Nuestra lucha es por la justicia y el mal gobierno se llena de criminales y asesinos.
How did you and the team come up with the idea to do this series?
Oh, I started by reading a book that talked about the border region as being similar on both sides of the border. Sure, there's a lot of security. There are fences, there are walls, there are helicopters, there are blimps, there's radar, there's everything you could possibly imagine. But culture goes back and forth. And the argument was that it was one contiguous area, which this book referred to as El Norte, like the north of Mexico, north and south of the border. And I wanted to learn about that. And so we ended up zigzagging through that region all the way along the length of the border. And what's most relevant, I suppose, to this discussion is we were listening to music along the way. You can't do a road trip without music. And I tend to get obsessed with songs. And there were some songs that I ended up playing over and over again as much as my colleagues could tolerate in the car.
I was impressed by the scope of the songs. I mean, it's not the stuff that you would, I think that I would normally associate with maybe, you know, conjunto music, maybe a little Tejano. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in there.
Well, I think that's appropriate to where we were. I mean, one of the songs on the playlist is a song that I heard from Ricky Muñoz. He's a huge star, as you guys know, the lead singer of the group Intocable. And he was talking about the way that their music grew out of growing up in a Texas border town, listening to Mexican radio, but also listening to 80s hits, because he's around 40 somewhere, and he grew up in the 80s, and, right, and he's listening to REO Speedwagon. And we ended up in his studio singing a few bars, terribly in my case, of an REO Speedwagon song. So that ended up on the playlist.
Which REO Speedwagon song?
Oh, this is Take It on the Run, Baby. What is it actually called? Hold on a second. Let me get the formal name of it. Oh, yeah. It's Take It on the Run by REO. Yeah. Take It on the Run.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend.
Oh, my gosh.
Another, you've been messing around.
Oh, no.
Yes, oh, no, exactly, exactly. But this is what the guy's listening to. He's listening to REO, he's listening to ELO, and he is also listening to great conjunto players from up and down the border, and he's mixing these things together, and you can hear it in their creations. They're not actually writing the songs. They're arranging songs written by others, and you hear that 80s influence as well as the more traditional Mexican influence.
And you brought in one of those songs that reflects that 80s rock influence.
Yeah, yeah.
From them.
Yeah, there's a song here by Intocable now, Nos Falta Hablar, and just listen to this and listen to the way the song begins and then the way it changes. There you go.
Me dices que te vas, que estás cansada.
So we're inside an 80s hit at this point. But something's going to happen. You got to bear with me a few seconds here.
And I think I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that always happens.
And that transition happens in a lot of their songs.
Yeah.
It's like they can't help themselves.
This is just straight ahead conjunto.
Yes.
This is the accordion.
After the intro section, like, we've attracted the broader audience, we're trying to mainstream it, and now we're getting it back to the basics.
Okay, so, but guys, let's break it down for audiences who aren't familiar with this type of music.
Sure.
So, Steve, tell us a little bit more about this band.
Okay, Intocable comes out of a town called Zapata, Texas, and we visited the lead singer, Ricky Munoz, in his hometown and talked with him. And this is a border town. I mean, it's right by a reservoir that's made out of the Rio Grande. You drive around town, and there's Mexico over there across the reservoir. And so they are born and bred on conjunto music, this traditional music that I'm sure you've discussed a lot here on the program, which is you recognize it by the accordion, you recognize it by the bajo sexto, the 12-string guitar, the Mexican version of the 12-string guitar. But they've brought in these other influences, and they have developed a huge audience. It's a really large audience in Latin America. They can play in Medellin, Colombia. They can play in Mexico City. They can play in Veracruz. We saw them play in Juarez, Mexico, as we were traveling along the border. There were posters and billboards for Intocable up and down the border, but they also played once at halftime of a Dallas Cowboys game. They play in the United States. It's mostly a Spanish-speaking audience. Ricky Munoz says he actually notices when somebody who doesn't look Mexican is in the audience for a live show. But it's drawing a lot of different influences together and doing something that feels traditional, that feels familiar, but feels modern and different at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. When I think of the border, I think of that kind of music, right, Felix?
Absolutely. And also the cross-cultural feel, because,
yeah,
you know, whether you're born on either side, the border obviously is just a line, a geographical line, imaginary line, actually, and radio seeps in on either side. So you're hearing everything from, you know, I talked to a band from Monterrey when we were at South by Southwest a while back, and they were heavily influenced by the Beatles. They were close enough living in, you know, north of Monterrey,
yeah,
to catch the radio coming in from the United States. So they hear everything, and they hear the conjunto, and they hear all of that. And it's just, I think this band and that song that you just played, it's a perfect combination of those two influences.
And Felix, you educated me on this before we went, and you were reminding me of the irony that the instrument that probably most defines border music or conjunto music or norteño music, whatever you want to call it, is the accordion, which is not a Mexican instrument.
It is now.
Central European. And you just realize people have come for a long time from all over the world to this region and have brought things with them and mixed them in new ways and made it their own.
The 18th century, there were a lot of Germans and Austrians who settled along the border region for various reasons, but that's where they ended up. And
it wasn't even the border region then. It was, the middle of Spain, what became Mexico.
It was still Mexico. And they settled there. And one thing that I heard from a musician who told me long ago that they brought their accordions and that influenced the music, but they also brought their beer, which is why there are so many beers in Mexico, all the different brands of beer.
That's such a great story. I really don't want to check it. I just hope it's true.
Accordions and beer, man. Right?
Steve, that's like music you typically associate with that region. But I'm wondering, did this trip in any way? I think you're from the Midwest, right?
Yeah.
Originally?
Yeah.
Did this trip in any way change the way you thought about the border?
I think that it first expanded my musical horizons. I was familiar with the name Flaco Jimenez. I'm sure I'd heard songs, but I'd never really, really listened. And when I get into a song, I will listen to it 50 times, as my family knows, to their sorrow. And I never really dug into it. And so I learned a lot more. And I think that it proved a portion of this thesis that we came with, the idea that both sides of the border are culturally similar in spite of all the security and the fact that Mexico and the United States are very different places. But there's this transition zone where you explicitly see people mixing together. Now, the border region is in some ways much larger than that, because you could find a Mexican-American community in Chicago.
Sure.
You can find Americans living in Yucatan. I mean, there's been a lot of mixing across both countries, but the border is where it's really intense and where you really feel it every day.
Well, that borderlands sentiment, that feeling, it's like you said, it stretches out to California, stretches out to Chicago, and it stretches south as well. I want to go back to Flaco Jimenez,
mm-hmm.
because I think that, you know, the way you described when we went to visit you in the office, and you just before you left on the trip, you were just immersed in Flaco's music.
Yeah.
And he is a tie, historical tie, because through his father and his grandfather, all the way back to the mid-1800s, and playing this type of music, his grandfather played German music, played Austrian music with the musicians that were there, and they didn't change it. It was Flaco's father, Santiago Jimenez, who actually eventually adapted that and then helped create a style of music that mixed the corridos, the storytelling songs, with the instrumentation and all of the stuff that Flaco does and a whole generation of musicians. That's the root of all of that music.
Mm.
And I just think, as you saw, it's timeless.
And just to point out, this is a guy from San Antonio. So he's a guy from the U.S. side of the border.
Right.
But his music is almost, not entirely, but almost entirely in Spanish. And he's drawing on Mexican traditions as well as American traditions.
And the way he has spread through a lot of different styles of music. He's played with Rolling Stones. He's played with Ry Cooder. He's played with Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson. Let's play his song, Ay Te Dejo en San Antonio, something his father wrote but became a big hit for him.
Ya no quiero que me beses ni besarte, ni mirarte, ni siquiera oír tu voz, porque supe que tenías otro amante, y en Laredo ya tenías otros dos. Te gusta mucho el baile y bailas al compás. Vas hasta Laredo y quieres más y más.
When I saw a film of the Rolling Stones singing from like 72,
right,
and Mick and Keith are singing at the microphone together, and I remember thinking, that's what conjunto musicians do.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
When
you
crowd the microphone,
you hear that two-part harmony and they're singing into the same mic. Conjuntas has that same kind of raw rock and roll energy and power that blues-influenced music has. It all goes back to roots music.
Soy ranchero, jugador y navegante. Ya me voy para nunca más volver. Me dejaste sin dinero y sin rolante. Por el mundo te me echaste a correr. Te gusta mucho el baile y bailas al compás. Te vas hasta Laredo y quieres más y más.
Well, it's beautiful harmonies. I'm a sucker for songs with harmonies, and I'm a sucker for songs with a story.
There's this Cuban comedian. He was saying, if you only listened to Mexican music, you would think Mexican women are the most evil, heartbreaking. Because all the songs are these guys who are just like, I can't believe you did this to me, man. And that's one of these songs.
Ya me voy, ahí te dejo en San Antonio. Tu mañita no te la puedo quitar. Hay momentos que pareces el demonio cuando mueves la cintura pa' bailar. Te gusta mucho el baile y bailas al compás. Te vas hasta Laredo y quieres más y más.
Which is, in Ay Te Dejo de San Antonio, that is exactly what's going on in this song. I can't believe you have all these other boyfriends. I don't even want to kiss you anymore. I can't stand this. But my favorite part is the end, the last verse of this song. He says, I'm going to leave you in San Antonio. But by the next line, it's clear he's not leaving her. He's not giving up, you know. He turns back
at himself. It's what Felix says to me all the time. I'm going to leave you.
What are some of the other songs that struck you as for their storytelling?
Well, let me go to an English language song. This is from, I think, the 50s or early 60s. This is Marty Robbins. The song is called El Paso. I'd heard it for years. It came into my head when I realized it was actually going to be in El Paso, and we played it in the car on the way into town. It is an awesome song. I've heard it described, actually, as the perfectly written story as a song.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl.
You can totally sing to all of
them. Yeah. Nighttime would find me at Rose's Cantina. Music would play and Felina would whirl. Blacker than night were the eyes of Felina, wicked and evil while casting a spell. My love was deep for this Mexican maiden. I was in love, but in vain I could tell. One night a wild young cowboy came in, wild as the West Texas wind. Dashing and daring, a drink he was sharing with wicked Felina, the girl that I love. So in challenged his right for the love of this maiden, down went his hand for the gun that he wore. My challenge was answered in less than a heartbeat. A handsome young stranger lay dead on the floor.
When I first came to the U.S., I got a job in San Diego at a store called The Frustrated Cowboy.
That's the beginning of the story. What's the rest of the story?
Well, you know, it was basically for people who wanted to be cowboys, and it sold, like, everything from horse saddles to cowboy paraphernalia. And this song was, like, on repeat.
Oh, I'm sure. And it's about a frustrated cowboy, actually, although frustrated in a different way. Again, it's like it's about a wicked girl. I mean, that's the thing that I love is the subtlety of this. I feel like the narrator of this song is a young man who falls in love, doesn't know how to behave, doesn't know what to do, and blames the woman for his frustration. He doesn't know how to approach her, and so it's her fault. And that's what drives the song, which it's in the end, it's a tragic song, but it's a great, great song.
This falls into the genre of country music, this song by Marty Robbins. But you know what they say about if you play country music backwards, you get your car back, you get your dog back, you get your woman back.
Nothing's worse than this pain in my heart. And at last here I am on the hill overlooking El Paso. I can see Rose's Cantina below. My love is strong and it pushes me onward. Down off the hill to Felina I go. Off to my right I see five mounted cowboys. Off to my left, right, a dozen or more. Shouting and shooting, I can't let them catch me. I have to make it to Rose's back door. Something is dreadfully wrong, for I feel a deep burning pain in my soul. Getting weary, unable to ride, but my love for the leader is strong, and I rise where I've fallen. Though I am weary, I can't stop to rest. I see the white puff of smoke from the rifle. I feel the bullet go deep in my chest.
From out of nowhere, Felina has found me, kissing my cheek as she kneels by my side. cradled by two loving arms that I'll die for. One little kiss and Felina, goodbye.
Felix, help me out here. I mean, I think there's like a parallel here between corridos, Mexican corridos, and country music in the sense that corridos, you know, Mexican corridos, they tell a story and sometimes are even like a history lesson, you know? I mean, even like before there was like social media and newspapers and this easy access to information, you had corridos, which told you about such and such battle and about such and such victory. And even, you know, you have drug ballads, narco corridos. Felix, would you say there's like a parallel between country music and corridos in that sense?
Oh, absolutely. There's a deep parallel. But, you know, going back to the history of corridos, you know, they were really popular during the Mexican Revolution of 1910. So that, you know, before media, before things were going on, because Mexico was so big and there were armies, Zapata had the army in the south, Pancho Villa had the army in the north, and they were fighting against the government. Corridos, these guys, these wandering troubadours, would sing these songs about what was going on in the south, what was going on in the north. So they were, in fact, they were reporters.
News reports.
There you go.
And that is true in American country and folk music, roots music, Americana music as well. I mean, when I first discovered this song, El Paso, it was because I was reading a book that was about folk songs, many of which did that very same thing. And some of them were actual news reports. You know, Frankie and Johnny, to give an example, appears to have been based. It's hard to prove, but appears to have been based on an actual crime. And so these things, if they were not literally dealing with an actual event, they were metaphorically dealing with actual events and actual feelings.
Felix, just out of curiosity, I know your grandparents came during the Mexican Revolution. Did they keep listening to corridos?
For that generation, people tried to assimilate. You know, so there were things that they still listened to. To be honest, I don't even remember my dad's mom, who came from Mexico at about 1910. I don't remember her having a radio at the house or what she listened to. On my mother's side, my grandfather was listening to corridos, and this segues into a nice little spot and something you guys did. I think he was the king of the grito, right?
Okay.
And because he had the most amazing celebratory grito, and we knew it was a party when you could hear that coming from the kitchen, and things just elevated.
Give us a rendition.
Why don't you guys explain what El Grito is?
Okay, fine. Please, Felix.
El Grito is basically, it means a yell.
The scream.
The scream, correct. Historically, it's based on the Grito de Independencia that was ushered forth, that was part of the Mexican history of independence. And it's become, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a folkloric thing. It's something that people do when they're having a good time, especially when you're listening to mariachi music. There are certain songs that just require a grito. And Steve just asked, and you've been asking, and I can't generate a grito, man. I'm not going to do it. We're going to, it requires shots of tequila.
It's shots of tequila, and I think it's because you're too happy right now, Felix.
Right.
Because even though, it's something you do at a party, it's a celebration, it's also a shout of pain. And I think about, I mean, I'm no historian, but when I think about starting a war of independence with a grito, you're basically saying, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, I'm really unhappy here. I'm willing to fight a war. I'm so unhappy. And let me shout. And that's what this is.
So you guys attended a grito contest.
Yes, that was awesome. Yeah, in Brownsville, Texas.
We're going to play a short grito, one of the ones that did not win, just to give you an idea of what it sounds like. And you can hear the music in the background. It's definitely mariachi inspired.
Okay.
Now,
if you're a connoisseur of gritos, that was
okay.
Nice try.
It's okay. Now, talk to me about the winner.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. So we're at Brownsville, Texas. Lots of beer has been consumed. It's at this music festival. It's on a stage. And there are all these different people in Brownsville who are doing these shouts. And in the end, the winner was an Anglo, Clara Dawson, 19 years old,
what?
From Brownsville, student at University of Texas. Exactly. What, you say? She says, I'm Mexican at heart. What do you want? And she went on and on. It's you know, to me, I assumed style had something to do with it. She had pretty good style, but apparently it's really all about the length. And she could she could go for a very, very long time.
Okay.
But, Steve, wouldn't you say that's kind of like a symbol of just how very porous the border is?
Oh, yeah, totally. It was a great thing to begin the series with, that she had absorbed so much Mexican culture, and she was not from a Mexican-American or Mexican family, but she was surrounded by that and was open to it and willing to take it on as her own.
Okay, so let's hear this grito.
This will take a while.
Okay. Doing okay.
Every time I hear this, I get short of breath.
Face getting a little red this time.
Oh, that's you on the...
Yeah, yeah, play-by-play. Like a basketball play-by-play. Still got some time to go here.
Oh, my God. This kills me. Whew. Not exactly my grandfather's, but, you know.
Oh, your grandfather's might be beyond that, you're
saying. Oh, no. Oh, it wasn't as long, but it was heartfelt, and it was after a couple of, belts of whatever he was having at the time, and, you know, it just raised. My mother does a pretty good grito, too, by the way.
I bet you're, I was there with a connoisseur of gritos, who said to me, women are better at this than men. And in fact, the women just dominated the men in this competition. They crushed the men. My guy's opinion was this is because women are able to bring out the drama a little bit better. I don't know if that's it or not, but they were just better at this contest. They killed.
We'll leave out the discussions about the motivation so we don't get in trouble with...
Oh, okay, fine. Jasmine is oddly silent at this point.
Well, I'm just thinking maybe it's because they have to have practice yelling at men.
Oh, that could be it.
But yeah. So, what else did you listen to?
Yeah, change the subject. I was interested by the fact that you brought in a Johnny Cash song.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge Johnny Cash fan. The first album I ever bought as a kid was a Johnny Cash album.
Awesome.
Can't explain that. But then I went away from him, and then I've come back to him as a grown-up. And this is a song that I'd heard for years, but I hadn't thought about. And then I just came across it while I was working one evening while we were on the road. I believe I was actually in Juarez. And there's a reference to Juarez in this song. Johnny Cash, the main character, the narrator, commits a heinous crime and flees, and the place that he flees is to Juarez, Mexico.
Early one morning,
here it comes. He's just killed his woman. It's her fault, of course.
It's always the woman's fault.
I stuck at 11:44 beneath my head. Got up next morning and I grabbed that gun. Took a shot of cocaine and away I run. Made a good run, but I run too slow. They overtook me down in Juarez, Mexico.
What is Juarez? You know, it figures prominently in a lot of songs, yeah. Stories, especially the cowboy literature and all those stories and Western films. You know, that border, that crossing that border, obviously you're escaping the law.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get a free pass if you get there. But it also, it always to me in that context made it seem like, an exotic land. Like you get there and you're home free and then life is different because it's not going to be as stressful.
I think that's changed a little bit.
Well, yeah, certainly.
It's a little stressful now, yeah.
It's certainly changed.
Well, let me ask you, Steve, I mean, we've heard so much about Juarez in the last, 10 or 15 years as being just, the absolute capital, the epicenter of Mexican drug violence. Did you find it to still be that way? Because there's also been some reports that has diminished.
Oh, no, that was a big part of our reporting, was noting what has changed and what has not changed in Juarez, Mexico. And the violence has gone way down. In 2010, just to give a couple numbers, there were way more than 3,000 homicides,
wow,
which made it the most dangerous city on Earth. And last year it was a little under 500, which is still really, really bad. Let's not kid ourselves.
Sure.
But it's a drastic improvement. It's gone way down. And as someone who's traveled a lot of places in the world, I didn't find it particularly unsafe as a visitor to be walking around Juarez, to spend the night in Juarez, to go to the Kentucky Club in Juarez and have a margarita. It was a nice place to go. But there's still a lot of lawlessness and a lot of crime. I don't know that you'd have, you know, you'd give them top grades for the rule of law. A lot of business people have to pay what's called the quota, which is just basically an extortion payment, a regular bribe. There are a lot of things going on. And Juarez, actually, you mentioned the image of Juarez from the outside. This, I think, is also Juarez's image of itself.
Huh.
We were having a conversation with two or three people from Juarez, and one of them said, well, we used to have a zone of tolerance, you know, kind of a red zone where anything goes, but that's been torn down. All the buildings have been torn down. To which the other man replied, actually, traditionally, the entire city of Juarez has been the zone of tolerance over the years. I mean, this is a Juarez resident saying, this is my image of the city, is basically a lawless zone where anything goes. And some of that is still true, although at the same time, it is this city where people live lives and business goes on.
Sure.
And it was important to us to show that side as well. We spent time with a maquiladora worker, and she's making refrigerator parts that may be in your kitchen or in mine. And she's making $43 a week, and she's trying to support her two daughters who are still at home. And one of them just had her quinceañera a year late because it took extra time to pay for it. And
right.
there are people living lives and trying to make a better life for themselves in a city like that.
Steve, this whole project was so cool. I just want to remind our listeners to check out Borderland on npr.org. We're going to post it on our site, npr.org/altlatino. It's really a project that I'm personally really proud to have been able to partake in, and I'm just so proud that NPR did this. It's a great project. Thank you so much, Steve.
Oh, gosh. Well, you should be proud. And a lot of people threw in on this, and the people of the borderland were so open. I can't think of anybody we tried to talk with, really, that didn't cooperate with us in some way or another and shared their stories. And we've tried to represent them as best we can.
We're going to wrap it up with a track that you brought in, but then a little surprise. You brought in Wall of Voodoo's Mexican Radio, which in your notes that you sent me said you were a little apprehensive about using a song because it's not from the border.
It seems like somebody's idea of the border who actually hasn't been there. They've just been listening to distant radio from a Tijuana station or a Del Rio, Texas station or something like that.
Okay, so let's hear a little bit of Wall of Voodoo's Mexican Radio.
The line that sticks in my head that I've remembered for years since I first heard this song is, I wish I was in Tijuana eating barbecued iguana. So, you know, I don't even know if you can get a barbecued iguana
no,
in Tijuana.
No, I don't think you can.
Yeah, so.
Okay, now I found a remake of this by a band called Kinky. Kinky is a Mexican rock band. I think they're from Monterrey. They're from the north. They're definitely from the north. They did a cover of Wall of Voodoo's Mexican Radio.
Wow. I'm in suspense, wondering if we're going to be in English or Spanish here.
The hot wind on my shoulder, and a touch of a world that is colder.
these guys, you know, they're raised biculturally. They're raised in the northern part of Mexico, and they're embracing that. They're embracing at least a recognition of the Mexican radio, but from a band called Walla Voodoo, who probably maybe never even was
border. I don't know their history. I don't know anything. But I think it's great that they would reach out and embrace it like that and just say, look, you were trying, so I'm going to take it and do it a little better.
Steve, thanks for coming in and sharing the music with us and sharing your experiences. This has been a lot of fun.
Oh, I can't believe you'd let me into this august program with my lack of knowledge, but it's really been fun to learn a lot about the music while I've been learning about the border.
And as you learned about the border, is there anything that you take away from this experience that just like changed your mind, changed your life, changed your perspective?
Well, John Burnett, who's covered the border for years for us, said this will change your life. And I don't know exactly how it has, but I know it's been a really meaningful experience. And it was really interesting to hear people on both sides of the border embrace the idea of being a border citizen. People who said, you know, I understand, I'm American, I understand, I'm Mexican, but I kind of want to be comfortable on both sides of the border. I have family on both sides of the border. I have a life on both sides of the border. I have business on both sides of the border. I want my kids to be comfortable on both sides of the border.
Right.
That's a very different way of looking at nationality and identity, and maybe a more global way of looking at nationality and identity than many of us might be used to.
Thanks for that. Yeah.
I want to remind our listeners that you can go to Borderland on NPR.org and find a magazine of pictures, stories, and facts about the U.S.-Mexico border and about the U.S.-Mexico border trip that NPR just did. And you can find all of that on the website. That's NPR.org.
We also are going to include the extensive playlist that Steve brought in that we didn't get a chance to play. You can find that at our website at NPR.org/altlatino. As usual, please write us. Let us know what you think on Facebook and on Twitter. We're NPR's Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst.
This has been Alt Latino.